Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Hey, Mike Lynch here.
Hey, and I'm Patrick Harris.
You probably like baseball, which is why you're listening to this. This is the Hot Corner Podcast.
Well, I kind of like baseball. I guess I'll tune in.
Baseball's pretty neat, so thanks for listening. This is brought to you by your local Les Schwab Tire Center.
Doing the right thing since 1952.
Woo, baseball!
The baseball season is way too long.
The game is way too slow.
It's so boring to watch.
Shut up. Get your peanuts, Cracker Jacks, and IPAs ready. This is the Hot Corner with Harrison Lynch.
Swing and a long drive, deep to right.
Covering all things baseball.
Going, going.
The big leagues.
Going, going.
And the MLB to Portland.
Goodbye. He has done it. He has changed the game of the night with one swing of his bat.
Now, here are your hosts, Patrick Harris and Mike Lynch on 1080.
Bang, zoom, go the fireworks.
The Fan.
Welcome in to the Hot Corner, baby, because it must be a Wednesday, as it's always a Wednesday here. Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan live from ye olde poop-filled Willamette. This is what we do every single Wednesday. We're here to discuss all things NBA, as we are that kind of show here.
All things Klay Thompson.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
That was last week's.
I'll pull it back. We'll pull it back. Okay. Pull it back. But today is a day.
Like a pullback jumper. Hey.
Today is a day of celebration, my friends. It is a big day of celebration.
Okay. What are we celebrating?
Well, all of a sudden, Joe Biden now owes me $1,400. So whenever you're ready, bud. I saw on ye olde Reddit today, one guy was like, that's a pretty big party for a guy that owes me money.
Dude, honestly, you should see the fireworks going off right now.
Yeah, dude. Like, what's up, man?
It is insane. I have never seen that many fireworks go off at one time.
I get it, man.
What is happening right now?
Oh, you're watching the inauguration still?
Yeah. Like, you don't have $1,400 for us? My ass. Yeah. You just each fireworks probably $1,400.
What's going on here, dude?
Well, that's our taxpayer money going for the fireworks, right?
Ah,
isn't
yes.
that how that works?
Yes.
Probably coming out of Social Security that I ain't ever going to see. Hey-o. So that's one of it, you know, that I've got a new guy to blame why I'm broke.
Yep.
And number two, like, let's not bury the lead here. Larry Scott is out of a job.
That by the way.
I know this is a baseball show. We're going to talk baseball, but just for a hot second.
And we have a lot of baseball to talk,
just
too.
Just initial reactions, because I know we usually mess around, fart around in this kind of opening, but, like, you know, the primetime guys, you know, I kind of feel bad. That's a big story, and they're in the middle of the club, and they're kind of probably sitting there going, man, well, I can't deviate from the club.
Well, they're like, great, we got something to talk about
tomorrow. Something to talk about tomorrow. Well, I'm going to beat you to it. Take that, primetime.
That is... like 3 days too early, Pac-12. You're supposed to do this Friday night news
yeah,
dump
what's going
late
on?
At night.
Dump it.
I mean, it is a dump. It's at 6:30 p.m. Pacific time, so the East Coast doesn't give an ass
on
right
inauguration
now.
Day.
Yeah, on inauguration day, and we're all just like, ugh.
I can't follow this. I got Colbert to watch tonight.
More news, but yeah, that came through. They're mutually parting ways, aka he was fired, but they wanted to be nice to him about it. About time.
So he can get a job somewhere else.
About time, right?
He's going to do great things for the Mac. I'm telling you. Get them a TV deal.
He probably will, because that's probably the commissioner level he needs to be at.
Don't disrespect the Mac like that.
Okay, all right.
The Sun Belt, sorry.
Okay, Ohio Valley, got it.
FCS level conference. About time, right? I mean, how many times has he made mistakes over the last few years? We all thought early on that he was a good commissioner, right?
Sure.
Early on, the moves he was making seemed correct.
Seemed like, hey, thanks, bud. Let's do this.
Let's push the Pac-12 closer to the top of the Power 5.
I am born and raised Pac-10, now Pac-12. I root for this conference.
You want to compete with the SEC, and cool, you got a couple of schools that can do that, and you want to boost the profile, and you want to start your own channel, and look at all these great ideas that Larry Scott has. And the last few years have been misstep after misstep after misstep, and of course the biggest one is the TV deal is a joke. Pac-12 Network is still not on every provider, just like the ACC Network is still not on every provider, by the way.
Oh, man.
Don't talk to me about that.
That doesn't make any sense in the world.
Don't talk to me about that, because all of my team's basketball games are on the ACC Network, and I have not been able to watch any of them.
Oh, but I can get the Longhorn Network, you know, at 1 a.m. in the morning.
Great programming on there, okay?
Yeah, it's an interesting thing. You know, I kind of was wondering.
Texas.
And you Matthew know, McConaughey.
And as you mentioned, the beginning of Larry Scott was a lot of great ideas, a lot of stuff to push forward. We were really excited about the Pac-12 Network. You know, we thought he had all these great ideas. I honestly think a lot of the biggest reason why he kept his job for as long as he did was, you got to remember, commissioners, you know, like, let's look at the NFL. How many people hate Roger Goodell, and how in his early days he just got ripped and ripped and ripped on his policies and what he does, yet he kept his job. And the average sports fan that listens here, you know, on this great station we have at 1080, are kind of like, well, what the hell's wrong with the NFL? Why are they going to hold on to this guy? What is the point? Everybody knows this guy's an idiot. He doesn't know what's going on or anything. And then you look at what the NFL makes in profit, and you're like, oh, that number keeps going up every year. So now you know why Roger Goodell is not going to lose his job, why he makes $40 million a year, and why the owners are going to keep him around, because he keeps making them rich.
I will say that although people didn't like Roger Goodell for his sort of kind of milquetoast punishments for domestic abuse and stuff like
and
that.
Drugs and all that kind of stuff, yeah.
Yeah, and his very hardline stances on drugs early on and how it's changed over the years. I think Roger Goodell has pivoted in a way where people now view him as a good commissioner.
Sure, because they realized after time he's growing the sport, the popularity is bigger than it's ever been and just going up.
Now, I think he's still a douche.
Well, yeah.
And I still think that he doesn't do things for the right reason, but he at least is willing to be pressured into doing the right thing, which is in some ways a stupid bar to set. But if the other side of the bar is, nope, I'm going to not listen to you guys, and I'm not going to make any changes for racial justice, and I'm not going to do this and kneeling that, then at least you should be happy that he's been pressured into making those changes.
Yeah.
And having those conversations.
And the biggest difference between someone like Goodell and Larry Scott is that Goodell kind of came through on a lot of his promises. You know, a lot of the things he wanted to do, he came through and he made them happen. Larry Scott has been one disaster after another, We are the conference, and I say we because I am an alum of this conference. We are the conference. In my opinion, we are the conference of intelligence. We have, as a D1 sports conference, we have the best educational institutions in the United States of America in our conference. You know, obviously the Ivy League is the Ivy League. We have Stanford. We have Cal Berkeley. Enough said. We have UCLA Medicine. We have UW Medicine. We have Wazoo Veterinarian and Broadcasting.
Oregon Journalism Schools.
Oregon's Journalism. Arizona's Journalism.
So I hear.
Like, we are, you know, USC, let's not forget, USC is one of the top film programs of a major university in America. Like, we are the conference of quality, intelligent schools, and yet we sit back and wait for other people to make decisions. No. As a Pac-12, we should be at the forefront of stuff. Like with COVID and if you're playing or not playing, whatever the Pac-12 decided to do, I'm fine with. But when it got to that, well, the Big Ten said it's okay, so I guess we think it's okay. And it's like, bro, like,
I also think the problem too in that is that the Big Ten is probably second to the Pac-12 in terms of the institutions that are in its conference.
Sure, they've got Northwestern, they've got Purdue, you know, they've got great.
So when they see that, they're like, well, I mean, these guys also have institutions that we respect and trust, and they're going in, so they... they kind of just followed suit.
But they're, but you know, but the Big Ten is also a conference about money. They're a conference driven by Ohio State, which is fine, which is, I get it. That's the college football landscape.
Well, Patrick, don't lie to yourself. The Pac-12 is also a conference about money.
Well, I know. I understand that. They all are. Oh, and this texter brought up the Oregon State Engineering Program. Duh. Those are great guys.
And the brewer program.
And the brewing program there. Yeah. Fermentation science. Yeah, see, so we're great. I get that. We're all in this for money. I understand that. But we're smarter than everybody else. I have no problem saying that. We are smarter than everybody else. Why don't we act like it? And our commissioner of our conference is one of the biggest doofuses of all the conference. When you're telling me the SEC has a better commissioner than us, that's dumb to me.
Well, that's not dumb because that's the biggest conference. So they should have the best commissioner out there, in my opinion. But Larry Scott was the guy who thought he was really smart, but didn't make the smart decisions.
Yeah. And adios, muchachos.
Yes. Now you got to hire the right guy, though. Or gal.
Yeah. Who are they going to hire?
No clue.
I know. Like, that's the one thing as sports fans, like, I have no idea.
I have no idea who's in the pipeline for that. Didn't Larry Scott come from, like, the Tennis Channel or something? Like, wasn't he like a high up executive for something like that?
Yeah, it's going to be, you know, I don't follow, you know, there's a, we need a commissioner's recruiting show here on the fan about letting
every
us
week
know.
We break down another person who's in a position of power that may jump to be a commissioner of a college conference.
The Ohio Valley is just really screwing up right now. They need a change. And these are the guys that we think are on the candidate. I don't know any of that, but I'm sure guys like Dave, like, hell, let's make Dave Bartu the commissioner of the Pac-12, right?
Commissioner Coach Effect.
Yeah, like Bruce, can we get Bruce Feldman in as the Pac-12 commissioner?
Seems like a sound businessman. And Larry Scott, Women's Tennis Association from 2003 to 2009.
And there's nothing wrong with Women's Tennis Association because of the non-major sports, women's tennis is very high on my list. I enjoy that sport a lot. I enjoy watching the women more than I watch the men because I find it more competitive. But like, hey man, you couldn't cut it. It is businessmen. They don't have to be football guys, you know. We don't need this old white guy that knows a lot about football to run our conference.
This text says the Patriot League is a better academic conference. Yes, it's D1. Boom. Not in football, it's not D1. So
So take that. Go Cougs.
There's a lot of conferences that are D1 in basketball, but we're talking football.
Sure, sure. And I don't mean to slight. I just mean of the Big Five.
You kind of meant to slight.
No, I really didn't. No, I meant it to slide it to the other Power Five conferences. Like, the ACC has great schools. The Big Ten has great schools. The Big 12 and the SEC don't play defense anymore. And the Pac-12, we have the best educational institutes from top to bottom of the Power Five.
Yes, that is true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't know why we don't act like it.
I think they tried to act like it. And they picked the wrong guy.
Yep.
It's just that simple.
Yep. So I'm officially putting my name in the hat for commissioner of the Pac-12.
Can I also just say the dumbest decision for the Pac-12 network to me was not getting all your rights deals done, was not, you know, banking on it getting really successful and, you know, you controlling the whole thing. The dumbest decision, in my opinion, was creating like 13 channels for it. Because not only was there the Pac-12 networks.
But then there's Pac-12 Washington, Pac-12 Oregon, right. Pac-12 NorCal, Pac-12 South Cal.
So you need to program for all these channels, and you're a conference TV station. What programming do you have? All of them are running repeats all the time.
All the time.
That's what Pac-12 Network is. It is live games, which are not the best games of the week, by the way, because those go to Fox and ESPN. Again, I'm talking football mostly. Those go to Fox and ESPN. So you're running, you know, the secondary and tertiary games, which is fine if you're a fan of that team and you want to watch it.
Sure. I mean, I watch a lot of Wazoo games on the Pac-12 Network.
Not everybody gets the Pac-12 Network, which
is the problem.
They created
Pac-12 After Dark.
But when that's not happening and you're not doing the pre- and post-game show, you're watching repeats.
Yeah.
And
I don't. And
also, no offense to the smaller Olympic sports. Outside of the people who have kids who are in those sports, nobody is watching that.
No, I'm not watching Oregon State Arizona gymnastics.
No.
On a replay from 3 months ago.
No.
No.
So to me, that was just, you didn't need all those channels. You didn't need to try to do, like, just have the Pac-12 networks. And then maybe have a second channel just in case there's two games and you play those games then, and that's it. Right?
Yep. So hopefully, you know, and we will move on. We will move to baseball because that is what we do here.
Are we currently in baseball have a commissioner who's also a dope?
Yes. Maybe it's just one of those things. Nobody likes their boss.
Well, people love Adam Silver.
Yeah. That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. Like, you got lucky. You got lucky with the skinny bald dude.
That's also a big hindsight
thing.
The
skinny bald dude happens to like black people, and that's a big plus in the NBA.
Yeah, it's a big hindsight thing too, though, because like people hated David Stern, but then when he retired, you were like, wait, he did a lot of good things.
Wait, because that's the thing, that the David Stern is the Roger Goodell thing as well. You're like, oh, I hate this guy. What a loser. What an idiot. That short, stocky dwarf. Everyone's gonna make fun of him because he's, you know, short and not a former player, but. He's
got the thick New York accent.
He took the NBA to where it is right now. It would not be there without David Stern. So you are right. The hindsight is that thing. But I think it's safe to say, and I'll leave on this point, in 5 years, we are not going to look back and go, you know what? Larry Scott was a good commissioner. I don't foresee that coming.
I don't think so.
Oakley Doakley. Well, we got a show for you tonight. This is a baseball show. This is the Hot Corner. We do it every single Wednesday. We got a lot of baseball to get to, as it feels like one team made a deal and all of a sudden the floodgates open. So we got tons to talk about. Whatever your team is, I'm sure there is something we can add. You can hit us up on the fan text line, 503-250-1080. That bad boy lets you interact with us throughout the entire show. You can find us on our social media accounts. Mike's on Twitter at MikeLynch27. You can find me on Instagram at PDD085. I am also on Twitter at PDD085, although I don't post a whole lot. And then our fantastic producer, Mr. Joe Fisher, is on Twitter as well, at JoeFish3. That's F-I-S-C-H. Beers on Us tomorrow drops around 4 o'clock and In the Brews.
In the Brews.
So there's a lot of news going around in the beer scene with kind of expansions and what people are looking at 2021. So make sure you download that wherever you get your podcasts, including at 1080thefan.com and radio.com. All right, where do we want to start?
There's a lot of places we can start. We can start with Yankees, we can start with Blue Jays, we can start with the Mets.
What'd the Yankees do? Who cares about them?
We could start with the story you wanted to talk about, which was the Angels dude.
That's boring.
You know, the Pirates keep trading all their good players.
You know what? You know what I want to do?
What else have we missed?
I want to start with our friends to the north. I want to start in Canada.
Okay.
You want to go to Canada?
Let's go to Canada.
I kind of want to go to Canada as Toronto is making moves.
Let's go to the giant maple leaf in the sky.
And we'll do all that next. This is the Hot Corner on Portland Sports Leader.
This is the Hot Corner with Harrison Lynch on 1080 The Fan.
/7:21, this is Portland Sports Leader. Don't you forget it. I thought we'd take a nice little stroll to our friends of the North that are such great friends to us that they won't let us in their country, and I'm not sure why.
It is weird.
I have ideas.
Like in April, they just decided, you know what? Americans no longer allowed.
I have ideas as to why I think they won't let us there, but you know, I don't want to spread fake news.
It's obesity, right?
I don't want to spread fake news. But it does make me wonder, if you are a free agent in Major League Baseball and you look at the Toronto situation, are you kind of like, I don't have to live in America. I can go to Canada.
I did see a tweet yesterday that said,
they got these kids.
I wish someone would pay me $150 million to move to Canada.
Yeah. Vlad Guerrero Jr. has lost like 60 pounds. Boy, he looks good.
I haven't seen him.
Oh, you should see him. He looks great. I mean, that's what happens when you're 20 and you come up to the big leagues. You look like a fat chaunch. And now you have an off-season program and he looks great.
His before picture is actually startling how heavy he was.
Yeah, right? You didn't realize how heavy he was. And now you look at him. So I wonder if you're a free agent, you're kind of looking around, you're like, oh, these Toronto guys, they're building something. I need to get paid. They're obviously willing to spend money.
Mm-hmm. They added Hwinjin Ryu to the big contract last year.
Yep. That was kind of like the first step for, what was that, like 3-year deal, 4-year deal?
Oh, I don't know the years. I think it was for like 80 or 100 mil, though, which
was
big for them.
Deal. Yeah. And I think we were even looking at it like, why are you paying that money to him? Oh,
he pitched great.
Because you're waiting for 2021 free agency.
Yeah. The thing for the Blue Jays is the last 2 years, they've gone after their number one guy and they've gotten him both times, which was Ryu. and now Springer.
And that's what leads to this, as George Springer signs a six-year, $150 million contract to play center field in Toronto. He's probably the prize hitter of free agency this year. Maybe yep. JT Realmuto, but I would probably say George Springer or LeMahieu.
It's probably Springer for his age and his ability
and his position.
Yeah.
You know, his resume is pretty sexy.
You always want to be strong up the middle, right? Center field, middle infield, is pitcher and catcher. So,
And what was interesting was the reports coming out of New York was that the Mets offered him same years, but like 30 mil less. I mean, if I were him, God, it'd been hard to say no to the Mets. But 150 million is also hard to say no to. And so that's the thing. So they land George Springer. You got the kids in the infield. You got Vladdy to your right in left field. And
well, right now this would be their projected lineup.
Are you on roster resources?
No, I have a tweet up in front of me. Yeah. Kevin Biggio leading off, George Springer 2, Bo Bichette 3, Vlad Jr. 4, Teoscar Hernandez 5, Lourdes Gurriel Jr. 6, Randall Grichuk 7, Rowdy Tellez 8, Danny Jansen 9.
Oh, because they still got Grichuk.
Yeah.
I forgot about that.
So that's not an amazing lineup, but the top five in that lineup, maybe top six, because I think Gurriel Jr. is pretty good too. That's pretty sexy. You go Biggio, Springer, Bichette, Vlad, Teoscar, and Gurriel Jr. in the top six. Like, whew, that's really good.
Roster Resource has Springer leading off.
Sure.
That's just there.
It's just semantics. I mean, they're all, you could put Springer third.
Right, too. Right. Your top six looks pretty good.
That's what I'm saying, right?
And who knows?
Those are players that not a lot of people know about.
Right, and the Biggios, Bichettes of the world, and Hernandez as well. Boy, that was a great fantasy pickup for me last year. For those that don't know those guys, we don't know what the ceiling is for them. And Guerrero as well. And Vladdy Jr. too. Like, those guys played well last year. They can get better. Like, imagine, like, how good is Fernando Tatis going to be in 2021? He was pretty damn good in 2020. Who knows? So the ceiling is there. I love this move for them. Springer is the one guy. Springer and Correa are the two guys of that whole cheating scandal that I actually think are superstar talent.
Okay. So Springer struggled really badly early last year.
Mm-hmm.
He was actually hitting worse than Altuve for the first month and a half of the season. Then he recovered to hit like 262, I think it was, with like 14 dingers. Shorter season, don't forget. I still think he was affected by it. I think Bregman and Altuve were the most affected by it. Correa was still pretty good.
I agree.
But yeah, in terms of ceilings of those guys, just to go back to the original point, I think the highest ceiling might be Bo Bichette, actually, at least as a hitter.
Especially at shortstop. God, everyone loves a young shortstop.
His biggest flaw is that
I used to love a young shortstop.
You still do love him. Mm. You will never stop loving him.
It's true. I am a Mets fan now.
Bichette can't stop swinging at everything. He doesn't walk.
Yeah, but he'll figure that out.
Well, he might not. He could be Javi Baez and continue to swing at everything for his whole career.
He's 23 years old.
I think he's got a really high ceiling as a bat. And then I would say probably Vlad after him. I'm ignoring Springer as a ceiling because we kind of know Springer.
Mm-hmm.
And then Teoscar. I think Teoscar Hernandez is really good.
I think he's really good,
too. And then Kevin and then Gurriel probably in that order is what I would say. Maybe if there's a Blue Jay fan listening, you could correct me at the fan text line 503-250-1080. But for me, that's the order I would put of ceilings on that lineup. It's a really good lineup. And their staff's pretty good, too. I mean, they made the staff way more competitive last year.
Yeah, and then they had one more signing that kind of flew probably a touch under the radar, but shouldn't be. Free agent, they've got a closer in Kirby Yates.
I didn't see that.
They signed Kirby Yates to a one-year deal.
Off a big injury, though.
Off a big injury. It's
so
just
a risk.
It's a one-year deal, but that solidifies the back end of your bullpen. They're starters. They need help. They need a lot of help with that. Because after Ryu, it goes Robbie Ray.
Yeah.
And then
Ray pitched pretty well for them last year.
And then some guys that can be good. We've seen them be good, but we've also seen them be terrible.
Well, Nate Pearson's the young guy that they are very high on.
Right.
In their rotation.
God, imagine if they still had Stroman.
Right. Or Aaron Sanchez actually panned out to be what he was supposed to be.
Any of those guys. then Roark and Ross Stripling at the end. I mean, this is a good-looking team. I think the two moves that they have made so far right now, I mean, they've made a bunch of moves. They signed Tyler Chatwood to a one-year deal. But outside of that, Springer and Yates, we're here to play.
Now, they wanted to also get Brantley. That fell through for them today.
And that was the last thing that I was going to get to was if they could have...
they didn't hit a home run completely.
Right.
They hit the RBI triple.
If they could have landed Brantley, your outfield is Brantley, Springer, Vladdy Jr. That's a pretty sexy...
Well, Vladdy's going to play infield.
Oh, that's right.
Maybe you put Biggio out there.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess I just wonder when Vladdy Jr.
stops. But
that
takes Teoscar Hernandez out there, maybe.
Yeah, I just wonder when Vladdy Jr. stops playing in the infield.
Well, they moved him to first because he can't move. Although if he's skinny, maybe he can move now.
He is listed as the third baseman according to roster resource.
Right, but they moved him last year.
Moral of the story, goodness gracious, the American League East is looted.
Except for one team.
Is absolutely loaded except for one team.
And boy, does that make me happy.
And that team sucks. And I am sorry if you are out there. No, I am not talking to the Baltimore Oriole fan base that listens to this show, that are P1s of this show. No, you guys are in good shape. You guys are building.
Well, you're building. Who's that young guy who came up for you guys last year and hit really well?
Ryan Mountcastle.
Yep.
Yeah. You guys are like 2-3 years away from being where the Blue Jays are right now. Like,
they're in a good spot.
No one's going to bash the Orioles. They're building. But yes, the Boston Red Sox are still maybe the worst team in baseball.
Yep. And they want to trade Benintendi.
Just like Larry Scott getting fired. That's something we can all jump on board
on. Yes, we are all on board on this.
Welcome, friends, to the Red Sox hate train. It is filled by many people because the Yankee fandom is large and spreads very wide. But you know what? There's always room. We can add cars to the back of the Red Sox hate train because everyone should be involved in hating the stupid Boston Red Sox.
Yeah, so the American League East looks just like a juggernaut, and it is going to be so fun to watch that division in the next season and the next couple years to come as well.
I'm really
nervous
about my team.
Yeah, you should be. But that's where I do want to switch. I do want to stay in the American League East and slide over to the New York Yankees because I think I just saw... This just came across breaking news on the Fan is brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Vans. Find out how far an extra mile really goes. Brian Cashman is wanted for grand larceny, and we will discuss that and see what his next move is and how he's going to recover from this heinous, heinous crime he committed, and we'll do that next. But first, there's my man Joe with sports.
This is the Hot Corner with Harrison Lynch on 1080 The Fan.
Rise and shine, make you want to say, dear God, let me thank you for another day. Living life on the edge, and I'm trying to break it. Tired of ducking the feds. TWDY sampled this from the great Bill Withers. Today is a lovely day. That guy still owes me money. Larry Scott's gone.
Hopefully we get it.
And we're here to talk about baseball.
We are. We gave some love to the team up north, although technically they are not the furthest north team that exists. But, you know, Blue Jays making some moves. Exciting little fun team.
Mm-hmm.
Team I will probably learn to hate very quickly. And we'll started to hate them last year, actually.
We'll stay in the American League East because there's a lot of stuff going on.
Non si può stoppare.
Something with Giancarlo?
Getting Higgy with it. The home run stroke.
I'm just here with the John Sterling, man.
Okay.
I just like the John Sterling.
Me too.
Legendary. Brian Cashman is wanted for grand larceny as they somehow signed DJ LeMahieu for about $5. And their infield is still stacked.
Yes.
For $5.
For $5.
Because I'm pretty sure Gleyber Torres is making about $2. Mm-hmm. And who's the guy you got at third?
Your favorite.
Yeah, we don't speak
Giovanni Urshela.
Yeah, and I'm sure he's making a buck.
Yeah, and then Luke Voigt's not making a lot of money.
Yeah, either, so you got $1, $2, $5. I mean, LeMahieu's the prize there at $5 in your infield.
You can really get a lot of the dollar menu at McDonald's with that contract for DJ LeMahieu.
Yeah, you got to get the McGangbang. You know what that is?
Excuse me, what?
Wow. Yeah.
You've never heard of the McGangbang?
Is that the one? You got to stop saying it. Is that the one
Will I get in trouble or is it just throwing you off?
It's making me uncomfortable.
Well, and then you get a side of F sticks.
Is
I can't say that word.
Is that the one where you get a Big Mac and a chicken sandwich, and you put the chicken sandwich on the inside of the Big Mac, and you've got like
you get the double cheeseburger, and you put the McChicken on the inside, and that is your McChicken.
Oh, but you leave the bread on, so it becomes like a Big Mac.
Yes,
with the I have had that once before.
That is the McGangbang.
Mm, okay, you got to stop saying it because I want to run out of the room right now.
With a side of F sticks. I got a buddy who one time ordered that, and they were like, what?
You have to order them separately and do it yourself. They won't do it for you.
Yeah, you can't, and you can't roll up to a drive-thru and say, I'll take a McGangbang and a side of bleep sticks. Like, can you pull forward? The cops are on their way. You sound drunk. But yes, the New York Yankees signed DJ LeMahieu to a six-year, $90 million deal, which rolls out to about 15 a year. Is my math good?
You are correct.
My math is good. And it's an interesting thing how the Yankees were able to land that, because last week we were doing the show and I feel like maybe the next day, like last Thursday, maybe Friday, it had seemed as if LeMahieu's camp wasn't happy and there was a stalemate and the Dodgers were going to swoop in and, you know, because they love infielders. They're like Blazers with small forwards. They're like, we can't have enough of these guys.
Yeah.
So they looked like they were going to swoop in because it seemed like LeMahieu's camp wasn't happy with what the Yankees had to offer him. And then all of a sudden, LeMahieu signs this deal and you're like, well, what happened?
So what happened from what I've read is that because the entire free agency market for the 500th year in a row, it seems like, is doing the slow play on its players.
Mm-hmm.
The Yankees didn't want to bid against themselves because not only had the Yankees not offered anything to DJ outside of the qualifying offer, no other teams had offered him anything. So what the Yankees wanted was for another team to offer him a contract so they could say, okay, we'll match it. And you want to stay a Yankee here, come be a Yankee, right? Because the whole time DJ wanted to stay with the Yankees and the Yankees wanted to get him at a somewhat affordable price, right? Because it is after the pandemic, teams are trying to be a little bit smarter about their money. And he's also older, right? He's 31, 32. So it's not as valuable as a contract at this age for a six-year deal, especially if you're getting a guy till he's 38. So basically, they just said, look, we don't want to bid against ourselves. We don't want to pay you $20 million more than the market value because we don't know what else is happening.
You can't blame him for that.
And so the story came out that DJ's camp was upset. And I don't know if that was fully true or if that was just his agent coming out and trying to stir up teams to bid so that he would sign. But, I mean, it was only like 3 days after that report came out that the Yankees gave him his deal, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think the report was that the Yankees wanted to pay him $90 million and LeMahieu wanted more years.
Mm-hmm.
So it worked out for both because the Yankees were like, sure, we'll give you 6 years because that takes the average salary down a ton.
Good chance it's...
And LeMahieu's you get the money.
Last salary.
It is his last salary,
yeah,
for sure. I mean, he might sound like a one-year deal if he's still playing at 39, but it gave the Yankees the per year.
And a half.
Okay, so he'll be 38 when he's done with the contract. It gives the Yankees the less per year that they wanted, and it gave DJ the amount of money and years and stability he wanted. So it was a win-win for both. So it was grand larceny because you got an MVP contender for $15 million per year, but he is older. So I think that's the kind of that's the other side of it where it's like, how good is he going to be for how long?
I mean,
the way he plays seems like it can last a long time.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, kudos to Cashman on this. Like this is why he's the best. It's why he's the best. How you convince that? Because you can, because the pitch is basically you do this and we spend more money on other guys.
Mm-hmm.
And
I think other teams weren't willing to go to six because of his age. I think other teams were probably going to say, like, I'll give you 4 years.
Yeah, and we just talked about George Springer. Like, how do you turn the Mets down? I mean, I know it's $30 million less, and that's a lot of money, but, like, that seems like a great investment. But at the end of the day, he's running for the money. Like, do the Mets give you a better chance to win a World Series than the Blue Jays?
Probably.
I would say probably.
He's also from Connecticut, Springer is, so he would have been close to home. However, I will also say... We like to say, like, oh, it's an investment in yourself playing in New York. Playing in Toronto is a great investment in yourself. You're the only team in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're the star on the Blue Jays, the entire country loves you.
Yeah.
And will buy your stuff. And will make, you know, so that's, Toronto is a good place to go. I'll be seeing
Springer jerseys at T-Mobile Park.
Yes, you will.
Yes, I will.
In the blue.
Assuming they let me in. Which allows them to sign Corey Kluber.
for too much money, I thought.
Probably too much money. I agree.
Worth a try.
We're in a text thread with our fantasy bros, and I said it's a little too late.
Well, so I guess the report is that he looked like old Klubs in his session for everybody.
Yeah, I mean, he's only had 8 starts in the last 2 years.
He was hurt, and he was bad before he was hurt, but some of it might have been attributed to his injuries.
But he's not a power pitcher. I mean, no, he's a junk guy.
I think the problem I had was less about the money given to Kluber and more just about the Yankees said they only had so much left after that, and they still have holes on that roster that they need to fill, especially in the starting rotation.
Mm-hmm.
So Kluber's great and all, but I was hoping for like $6 million for him. And instead you give him 11, which means, guess what? Tanaka's gone. So
yes,
you don't get to bring him back.
I love Tommy Glavine's junk.
You're probably not in the market for Trevor Bauer if you put 11 mil towards Kluber, unless you want to go over the luxury tax.
I don't think the Yanks were ever in on Trevor Bauer.
Well, and I don't think so either. But if you're looking right now, their biggest weakness is their starting rotation. Before the Kluber thing, the only trusted guy they had was Gerrit Cole.
Yeah.
Everything behind it was like, maybe it'll be okay.
Yeah, according to Roster Resource, your starting rotation here for the Yankees is Gerrit Cole, Corey Kluber, Jordan Montgomery, Devi Garcia, and Domingo Herman, yep, the beater himself. And you have Severino coming back at some point.
Yep, probably in July or August.
Which would probably, take the place of Montgomery, I would imagine?
Well,
If the kids pan out.
I mean, Garcia was really good last year. And Herman, before his issues, had an amazing season, if you remember that. He was like 12-1. Do you remember that?
I can tell you're a Yankee fan. Before his issues, if it's a Red Sox, before he started beating women.
I mean, okay. Yes, touche. I'm trying to whitewash it away so that I can root for the guy again.
Yeah, you want
to
feel comfortable? It's like, I'm a huge Ravens fan, and I love our run game. Like. His wife started it.
Who's the running back? It's the run game is great.
Yeah, the run
it's
game great. Is great. Yeah. Good offensive line, you know. So great coaching.
That's
good,
a huge
culture.
That's a huge weakness. So for me, Kluber is a little bit expensive for that, but it does give you, hopefully, a guy who, you know, can return close to his previous level.
That's a 2-time Cy Young winner.
Mm-hmm.
Two of them.
He is.
He's got 2 of them.
Should only have 1, but, you know, he
should
is.
Only have 1, but he's got 2.
So, I mean, I don't know. I'm a little bit nervous this year as a Yankee fan because the Blue Jays are making moves. The Rays are still good, even though they haven't done anything special this offseason outside of, like, offload some players.
They offloaded Snell. I don't think that changes that much for them. But I still think they're in good shape.
You know, I'm not fully comfortable yet. I'm waiting for the Yankees to make that final move, which they always seem to do, where you're like, this is it. They're gonna be a well-rounded team, and I'm nervous.
Well, that's kind of what I want to shift to, and we'll get to this next. It's, you know, there's the one last big chip to fall, and I don't want to spend too much Machado Harper action on this, but I do, you know, it's still a big chip, and that is the reigning National League Cy Young winner. Where will he go next? Let's talk Trevor Bauer. We'll do that here on 1080 The Fan.
This is the Hot Corner with Harrison Lynch on 1080 The Fan.
It's an A-bomb from A-Rod.
You can put on the board.
Yeah! Could have swore we had that too.
We do.
Where is it?
We just don't have the yes.
We don't have the yes?
We just have the you can put it on the board.
We don't have the yes though?
You can put it on the board.
Yes!
Oh, Hawk. Adios, Hawk. I do love that all of a sudden, have you noticed the Tom Brenneman call has been getting a lot of love lately?
Oh, I love it. Every single time it comes out, I love it. Absolutely die laughing.
Joe Biden sworn in as the next president of the United States of America. That's a deep ball to left field.
By Castellanos. And that's a 2-run home run.
I love that.
This might be the last time I put on this headset.
I hope that Nick Castellanos just lives in infamy for that. Great player, great baseball player who is never going to get the love because he's not like a superstar.
He's all right.
Okay. What's he bat, like 295?
Okay,
Patrick. An all right hitter. But Nick Castellanos is a great baseball player.
He's all right.
And I really hope that he will live forever. I hope my kids go, Dad. Well, they won't say that because they'll be older. Be like, Dad. told me about Nick Castellanos, and I'm just going to say.
That's a great seven-year-old voice right there.
I'm just going to say, well, son, daughter, they, that's a deep fly ball to left field. And that's going to be a home run, and the Reds are up 4-0. This might be the last time I put on the headset.
And they're going to be like, what are you talking about? Look it up, kids.
Look it up, kids. Why is that guy in Puerto Rico now? Well, you know, he hates the gays. But dad, yeah, we love the gays. I know. But for some reason, this guy is just, it's just too funny.
I know. It's funny. In the span of 12 hours, you and Joe both sent me specific instances of that happening.
Yeah.
One of them was a Reddit post. That was you. And then Joe tagged me in a tweet, I think it was, of this exact same thing. The one that I saw was the Mets GM who just got canned for being a creepo.
Mm-hmm.
Was that the one you sent me? I forget which where I saw it.
Oh yeah, I sent you one the other day. Let me go.
I'm really sorry. This is not me who did this. Not really my personality. It was a big mistake. And there's a deep fly ball to left field by Castellanos.
Here's what I found.
Is that the one you sent me?
MLB update. New York Mets ex-GM Jared Porter states, from the bottom of my heart, I am so very, very sorry. I pride myself and think of myself as a man of faith, as here is a deep drive into left field by Castellanos. Will be a home run, and that'll make it a 4-0 ball game.
That actually is what Brenneman said, too, right? I'm a man of faith.
I'm a man of faith.
Yeah.
And if you don't remember, apparently, my God hates gay people, which is, you know, my God doesn't. We celebrate everyone for their own differences and all that kind of jazz. But I'm just kind of really jacked that I don't know. I'm actually kind of like at a little bit of torn on this, because I do not want to celebrate a man who is clearly out of touch. And I mean, he got caught showing true colors. I don't want to celebrate, you know, what he said by any means, but boy, is it funny.
It is really funny. Well, it's not celebrating him. Like, I think over time, especially probably now, it's not even a Tom Brenneman thing anymore. It's just a baseball meme.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like it's getting to the point now where it's become such part of the baseball meme culture that it's not like a constant reminder of a guy who doesn't like gay people.
Right.
It's just funny.
Yeah.
It's like, it's gotten away from that. It's erased that part of it.
I need that line. I need to find that line super bad. It's so good. It's just so good.
Have that be a drop.
Let's put it this way.
A ball to deep left.
Let's put it. And that's a deep fly ball to left field.
By the way, every time you just start it, it's funny.
I know.
And there's a deep fly ball.
You just go, and then you're instantly laughing. I guess it's one of those things where
it really hurts the jaw.
It does. I don't think. Now, I would hopefully, I mean, I don't believe these things in my own personal life. So I would hope that I would never be caught saying something drastically off color when I think I'm in a safe spot and it gets broadcast over. Well, I mean, I work with you every day. I don't know if anyone will ever top that in a like, hey, I'm busted. I said something that I clearly believe, but I have to tell you, I don't believe.
No one will ever top it.
No one will ever top, and that's a deep fly ball to left field.
And I think it's because there was almost an obligation to continue doing his job, even though...
Which shows that he's a true... I mean, I loved Tom Brenneman. I loved when he called games. I thought he was excellent.
He was quite good. And he was a true professional through and through, despite him
through
being...
Through and through, despite hating the gays for no reason whatsoever. Not only,
I think Joe's grabbing it because I saw him laughing at the screen. So I think he's grabbing the clip.
I think maybe. There's also part of it that, I can even see it here. There's also part
of
it.
There's a drive in a deep left field by Castellanos. It will be a home run.
That's perfect. That's what I want.
That is pretty perfect.
Because it just sounds like who cares? But I think so much, there's so much wrapped into it. The man's in an MVP season. Like, Castellanos was an MVP candidate at that time. And it's just like, you know, it'd be like, instead of, it's an A-bomb, it's like, and that's an A-bomb from A-Rod. I may never wear this headset again.
The Yankees win. The
Yankees win. Start.
You can put it on the board.
Spreading
yes.
The news. New York. New York. All right, we got a loaded second hour for you coming up. We'll get into some other stuff, some free agents.
That's a grand salami.
Some free agents that are still hanging around. There's also a secret, like, firing that nobody wants to talk about because it's some of the things nobody ever wants to talk about in baseball we might get into. Plus, we got Fair or Foul at 8:30. We got a big second hour coming up. Don't go anywhere. Stick here right with us. This is 1080 The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly.